She had danced with death, cheated death, even stolen from its all-consuming greedy grasp. Now finally, Grace knew her time had come. She was death. Why else the paralysis of her limbs, the eerie, disconnected feeling, as if she floated outside her body? She heard Jimmy's voice and began to struggle, impatient, desperate to return to him. All those years of her taunting death, it should come as no surprise when death chose to return the favor. As always, it was Jimmy who provided her with much-needed patience and solace. "Our love," his voice rang through her mind, his Irish lilt as crisp as fresh-bloomed jonquils, "will live forever." He had used those same words in both English and Gaelic when he toasted her on the night they became engaged, drinking Guinness from champagne flutes, their glasses meeting with a sparkling chime. "Promise?" Grace had asked, reaching her hand with its new shimmering emerald engagement ring to wipe foam from his lip. "Promise. Our love's too strong to die."
"Yep, Santa's workshop." Everyone knew about the toy stores. Getting sent to work at one of them was sort of like being sent to prison, but with worse food. Okay, maybe it wasn't that bad, but you had to deal with humans. There was zero chance for advancement, and you had to deal with humans and their children. Lots and lots of their children. I'm not always such a people person. Did I mention that? Anyway, apparently, some elves actually wanted to work in the stores because there was a waiting list and an interview process and blah, blah, blah. Whatever. Those elves were weird.
"A pig would make a better spy than Harker. If Harker's indolent, self-indulgent manner was an indication of the types of spies Britain employed, then it was a wonder Napoleon hadn't overrun them already. I am. You mustn't tell a soul." Freddy nodded. "Of course." Harker's eyes narrowed, his eyelashes sticking straight out like little daggers. He must have decided to trust her because he continued. "The two eldest Greylock brothers are French spies." Freddy's mouth dropped open. "Not the Duke of Tenwick. Why would one of the oldest and most powerful in Britain turn his back on his country?" Harker's glare convinced her to hold her tongue. "Yes, him. His brother Tristan, too. I need you to get a book in Tristan Greylock's possession before he passes it on to the French military. The book is coded with Britain's strategy for winning the war with France."
"Do you like it?" Annie asked nervously.
"I love it."
Annie let out a breath. "Do you want some hot chocolate with marshmallows?" Taylor nodded, crawling over the mattress and reaching for a large webbed circle with feathers hanging from it.
"What's this?"
"It's a dream catcher," Annie explained. "It's supposed to catch bad dreams before they find you." Taylor played with the blue feathers dangling from the strings.
"Do you have one too?"
"No," Annie shook her head. The only dream she'd ever had was this, a home for her and Taylor, a place to call their own, a place where they could put down roots and get to know their neighbors, a place where they could stay forever if they wanted. She didn't need a dream catcher to remind her she'd waited her entire life for this, and no matter how hard she had to work to keep it, no one was going to take it away from her. "My most prevalent memory is of the spring, when the daffodils and crocuses came to life, when the earth thawed, and Mama always began with my birth story. My story begins among the wild meadows. I can see the landscape of budding flowers and hear the comfort of my parents' voices by my side. The voices fill me with the memories I hold dear once more and pass down to my children now. I was birthed
Just as the violet crocuses nudged their dainty goblet-shaped heads through the thawing soil, announcing with their arrival spring.